I want to get into something tonight about, you know, everything I want to share is to try to get us to a place of momentum. You know, we must believe we are the sons of God. Now we are the sons of God. Not someday, today. Come on. We must begin to build off of what God has done so He'll do it again. The more you realize what God has done, the more He will do. Come on. When you lose sight of what He has done, it seems like He stops doing. Come on. And tonight I want to deal with something about tapping into our inheritance. Because one of the reasons our life is not rich with God is because we're living off our earnings instead of our inheritance. When you live off your earnings, you always live poor. When you live off your inheritance, you live rich. And inheritance has nothing to do with what you've done. Come on now. You don't earn it. You can't make it happen. It's already happened. Come on. Someone's already provided. It's already yours. Come on. We need to understand. That's why in Ephesians 1, God says, pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you might know the inheritance you have among the saints. Come on. You know how many people understand we've had have inherited healing. It's the children's bread. We've had have inherited prosperity. Jesus became poor that we might be made rich. In fact, the silver is His and the gold is His. And right now it's in the hands of the wicked, so there's got to be a transference of wealth back into His kids. Because He created the silver and gold not for Himself. Come on. The heavens belong to God. The earth He's given to the sons of man. Some of you are going to get this tonight. If you get this, man, you're going to get happy. You know, when you realize that you got an inheritance. Come on. Amen. And some rich relative died and liked you enough to leave you something. It will elevate your standard of living. We must begin. Inheritance is not about what we've done, but who we are. We're not responsible for what we've been given as much as we're responsible for what we do with what we've been given. Come on now. We are never to apologize for something that has been given to us for free. Never. Should never apologize for blessing. Never apologize for prosperity. Never apologize. If you were the ones who earned it, you might have a right to apologize. But because it was given to you for free. And honestly, by not receiving your inheritance, you're dishonoring the one who died to give it. Come on now. Does this make sense? See, Romans 8:32 says that let's go right there. I know how to quote it, but let's go there. I want you to read it for yourselves. It says, "Who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things?" Come on now. See, God left you everything. Understand, He's freely giving you all things. And the Bible even says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that there are hidden things that God, they're already yours. Come on. But they're going to be revealed by the Spirit of God. See, there are things hidden for us, not from us. Yes. You know, and God wants to uncover things. I believe we're coming into a season of revelation, a season of revelation knowledge. Come on now. Where the secret things are going to no longer be secrets. Come on. Yeah. That the mysteries are going to be revealed, praise God. Amen. Where the sons of God are going to begin to come forth. Yes. There'll be a manifestation of the sons of God. Come on. I believe that's the final manifestation of before Jesus returns. Come on. I believe that. That we will get, you know, for free what someone else paid for. A spiritual inheritance pulls back the curtains and reveals what we already have permission to possess. If God gave it to you, He wants you to have it. Yes. Come on. It's all ours. When we learn of our inheritance, suddenly we have spending power with God. Yes. Come on. Some of you are going to get this. This is good stuff. You're going to get it, man. And you know, well, part of the Holy Ghost, one of the reasons the outpouring of the Holy Ghost comes is that so that we can have things restored to us that are supposed to be ours. He'll restore the wasted years. He'll make up for the wasted years. He'll turn where we're lack into abundance. Come on now. He'll take away shame. He'll restore us into a position.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
That His children are meant to occupy.
Yes.
You're destined to reign in this life. And too many times we see ourselves as paupers because we look at our natural birth instead of our spiritual birth.
Yes.
Come on now. We see ourselves as the tail instead of the head. You know? Like I said earlier, you know, the religion teaches you that you're the worm in the apple. But God teaches you you're the apple of His eye. Come on. You know, I'd rather listen to what God says.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We are co-heirs or co-hairs or whatever. Come on. A hair is joined to the head. Hallelujah. Amen. Does this make sense? See, God wants to do something. How many of you want Him to do it?
Yes.
See, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost is literally enables us to recover all the anointing that has laid dormant for years. All the anointing that's laid dormant. Understand that. God wants the former and latter rain together. So He wants us to redig ancient wells, bring up all the anointing that's still on the earth, study these things, claim these things. Lay hold of them. At the same time, He wants us to stay fresh so we can embrace the new that He's bringing to literally join with the old for a major explosion. Come on. Some of you don't get this. It's good stuff. See, God will do it again, but on a different level. He's the same Jesus, but He has a way of revealing Himself stronger and stronger and stronger if we let Him. Go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. See, one of the ways we begin to tap into things is by impartation. How many of you people understand? People carry things that you can rub off on you. You know, I've been around people in my life, and I started thinking about this, especially this year, because this year it just seems like most of the people who have had an impact on my life spiritually have gone home to be with the Lord. Most of them have. And two of the major ones this year went home, and one was Hilton Sutton. And Hilton, you know, he enabled me not to be afraid of the last days. You know? And then Brother Shambach. I love Brother Shambach. You know, it sounds like Shabbach, which means shout. You know, heaven just got louder because Brother Shambach went there.
Yes.
Come on now. But, you know, I once had someone ask me about Brother Shambach, and they had never seen him, and they just heard him preach, and they said, do you know Brother Shambach? I said, yeah, I've actually sat at him at Word Explosion, and, you know, I know him to a degree. They said, we have this debate. My friend says he's a big black preacher. And he said, I tell him he's a little black preacher. He said, which one is he? I said, you're right. I just laughed. I said, you know, because honestly, you know, we would go into Harlem and he'd be preaching. And, you know, it's like my wife, my dad and me and Brother Shambach, we were the only white people there. But, you know, he could preach, man. He could preach. And he brought fire in the place, brought faith in the place. You know, you don't have a problem. All you need is faith in God. I can hear him just saying that, you know. And it was amazing. And I started thinking about the people in my life. That how many of you know that we should be so grateful for all the revelation we have had in our lifetime? Come on now. I think about my pastor of many years, Billy Joe Daugherty, you know, who's been in heaven for a few years now. But the way just being around him, he stretched me into a world vision. You know, you just hung around him and you all of a sudden you had a heart for all people. There are people like that. They rub off on you. You know, I think about Brother Hagin and just... The message of faith. Have the faith of God. I still listen to his cassette tapes, and I can't get enough of some of the old stories. And you know, Mark 11 never gets old to me. Never. I mean, I sometimes want to turn on a cassette just to hear him say, "Turn to Mark 11." I mean, and that's all I have to hear. I don't even have to hear the rest of it. I just have to hear him say, "Turn to Mark 11," because I know what's coming, and it's an explosion of revelation about faith. It's an amazing thing, and he paid a great price. You know, kicked out of his denomination. Persecution because of that truth. Then I look at Brother Hagin brought faith, and then I hung around David Wilkerson. He would bring the fear of God. I mean, when you got around David Wilkerson, you confessed every sin you knew and every sin you didn't know. You know, blood, 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 blood of Jesus, Lord. You know, there's something about the man that made you want to walk holy. And thank God for that. You know, it's a good balance. Brother Hagin and Brother Wilkerson were good balance. You know, Brother Wilkerson, you know, he didn't like a lot of faith preachers, but he liked Brother Hagin. He said he's a different one. You know, even you always say that. He's a different one. He said, "I trust that man." You know. And you know, then Brother Roberts, you know, just hanging around Brother Roberts. You know, it was my privilege when I was 20 years old to take a 30-minute walk with him at Oral Roberts University. How God set the thing up was amazing. In fact, I was supposed to go home for Thanksgiving, and I already bought the ticket. And the Lord said, "I don't want you going home." And I had to tell my parents, "I'm not coming home." Actually, my mom had died, but I had to tell my dad and the rest of my family that was supposed to be gathering at the house, "I'm not coming home for Thanksgiving." They said, "Well, we bought the ticket for you, so I'm not coming home." God told me, "Stay on campus." And they said, "Well..." And I mean, I thought I missed it because I was so lonely. It was me and a couple of foreign students had no place to go. Everyone else, you know, they'd gone home. And I love Thanksgiving. I love to eat. And man, Thanksgiving is like my favorite thing. It's like, oh, it's a preview of the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know? So football and food. What, I mean, it's heaven. What more do you want? At least that's, you know. But I'm sitting there, and instead I got this canned stuff, and it's just really bad. And I was feeling so sorry for myself, and I decided, well, I was going to go to the gym and work. It was the day before Thanksgiving or day after Thanksgiving. I was just going to work out a little bit and feel sorry for myself. And I went out there, I was lifting weights, and Brother Roberts came by. And he never showed up places, never. There's a tunnel system under ORU, so he never even walked. You never see him walking on campus because he always went from building to building underneath the ground. Always had security around him because there were threats on his life. But that particular day, because nobody was on campus, he felt safe. So he came into the place we worked out, and I was lifting weights, and he came over and he said, "You, come over here." I look. I said, "That's all Roberts. Whoa, wow!" And he said, he looked in and he said, "What do you?" He started talking to me. "What's your name?" I said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." He said, "I used to have a stuttering problem too." And I said, "No," and that kind of got me out of it. I said, "No, I really don't stutter. You just, I'm kind of awestruck." He said, "You mind taking a walk with me?" I said, "No." He said, because they was walking around the track, and he said, He said, "What are you called to do?" I said, "Well, I'm called to preach." He said, "Do you mind if I share some secrets with you?" And for 30 minutes, I think I know what those disciples felt when they walked with Jesus and their heart burned as he opened the scriptures. It was like, oh. He talked about how, you know, he talked about how he would prepare before a meeting and the type of prayers he would do. He talked about how he could discern the presence of a demon. All these things. I said, "Wow." I mean, it was like, who cares about the food? Who cares about anything? So I just inherited something. Then later on, you know, I worked with Oral for a while. My wife worked for him writing the Daily Blessing. And during the partner meetings, I would work the prayer lines with him. And you know, my favorite part is when we would go to the people in wheelchairs, because a lot of the partners, several of them would be in wheelchairs. And almost every time there was a partner meeting in the healing time of it, there'd be six or seven people that got out of wheelchairs. And you'd see them pull, you know, they'd be actually pushing their wheelchair out of the building afterwards. And my job was, when Oral would get near someone and he would sense that it was time to get him out of the chair, he would have, you know, I was one of the people, he would say, "Help me lift him out of the chair." So I'd take the person by the hands, and there would be another person take the person by the hands, and Oral would be laying hands and stay, and I'd watch these people straighten up and move. And it was the coolest thing I ever saw, and I thought, "God, I want to do that." "Me too, Lord. Me too. That is the coolest thing I ever seen." It's kind of like when Peter saw Jesus walk on the water. "Me too, Lord. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Come on." And then I found out a lot of things come through impartation. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. I want to show you some stuff in the scriptures, and hopefully you'll get this. But Romans 1:8 says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all." Well, you know he was a southern guy. That's good. "Because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making requests if perhaps now at last by the will of God that I may succeed in coming to you." Paul said, basically he was saying, if you don't pray, you have nothing to say. He said, "God knows I've paid the price in prayer. Come on. For I long to see you, not that I may teach you, but that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may become established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you, among you, each of us by each other's faith." How many people understand? Only faith encourages people. Come on now. I've been around people, and I didn't get encouraged because there wasn't any faith there. Come on. I felt like I was the only one trying to lift them up out of the pit. After a while, if they want to be in the pit, I'm just going to another place. Because they'll drain you. Come on. But see, he came, he said, "I come to impart something to you." And see, God literally wants us to begin to receive greater impartations than ever before. See, an impartation means you can partake for free what someone else paid a price for. That's what an impartation means. Someone else paid a price for that revelation. You can get it for free. That's why in John 4, it talks about, don't say 4 months, then comes the harvest. He said, lift up your eyes. The fields are already ripe unto harvest. But it goes on to say in there that the day is coming. I believe the day is here where we're not entering into other people's labors. Other people's, they've paid a price, and we're going to get the benefit of the price they paid. Come on now. Some people have, you know, basically broken up the fallow ground. But I love it when you're the one that can reap it. I love reaping what I sowed, but I love even more reaping what someone else sowed. You know, it's fun to realize, and I'm grateful for them because it means nothing they did was wasted. They may have not seen it, but it wasn't wasted. Come on now. You hear what I'm saying? And Oral, what he did is before, you know, he raised up a university because he knew one day he would go. And he didn't want to leave the earth having been one solitary life, no matter how strong it was. He wanted to raise up a place that would have the same spirit he did. Where impartation would come, where they could go where his voice, you know, the light was dim and his voice was not heard. Come on. Hallelujah. And thank God that that mission is going on today. You know, there's something about an import. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to get something tonight. At least I will. You know, one of the things I find out is when I'm around people, I want to catch what they have because the anointing is not taught, it's caught. Many times you can tell people have gotten something by association. You can tell it. You know, you get around, you if you hear Brother Savelle, especially early in his ministry, you knew he served Brother Copeland. You knew he was preaching his sermons. Come on. Same style, same, some, you know, you just knew it. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. You know, now Brother Savelle has his own style, but guess what? I can still tell he was fathered by Brother Copeland. There's no question about it. You know, I guarantee you, Elijah was glad he hung around Elijah. Got a double portion. You mentioned Benny Hinn. You know, I went to Catherine Kuhlman's services. If you went to a Catherine Kuhlman service and you go to a Benny Hinn service, it's about the same. They still seem to sing the same songs. They still have the same style, except for he doesn't wear a flowing dress and go, woo! But he does have his theatricals. It's almost like, you know, he's different bird. But she was a different bird. Come on now. But I don't really care about the bird. I care about the droppings. And it works. Come on now. Healing flows. You can tell that something rubbed off. Come on. 2 Kings 4:8. Let's look at this. See, some of you, honestly, God just wants you to realize that, hey, he is putting you in a position to receive constantly. Many times we don't recognize the answer God's sending. 2 Kings 4:8 says, now there came a day when Elijah passed over the Shunem, where there was a prominent woman, and she persuaded him to eat food. So it was as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat food. I guarantee this woman could cook. Come on now. I mean, you know, I've learned one thing. If the person can't cook, you may eat there once. You don't do it again. In fact, you know, my mama was the worst cook to ever live. Worse. I mean, you know, my dog died. Killed my dog. Food droppings. I just didn't want to eat it, so I put it on the table. My dog died, man. I still need counseling over that, I think. I mean, my mom would cook, and they literally, the neighbors would complain of the smell. It was bad. So if I eat at a place and I don't like the food, I just smile and say, just like my mama used to make. And they always think it's good. And I'm thinking, the pastor, you tried to kill me. There are places now where I actually go places and I'll say I'm fasting until I smell the food. It's the safest thing. Oh, yeah, I think God just released me. You know? But, well, you know, I am fasting at that moment until I know I'm fasting. Come on. But it says, and it goes on to say, and she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is not like all the other fat preachers that eat at our table. It says, behold, I perceive this is a holy man of God passing by us continually. See, in order to receive something, you must perceive something. I've learned if people don't recognize who you are, they won't receive your gift. And I don't care what the title is on the card. If they don't perceive it, they're not going to receive it. You know, there are a lot of people that go to church that never make the pastor their pastor. And guess what? His gift cannot benefit them. Can't. In this situation, they are passing by continually. She finally said, we got to do something. Once you perceive something, there's a responsibility. So we've got to make a walled-up chamber. We have to make room for him. We've got to make room for the gift. It's not enough to feed the gift. We got to make room. We must make room for the gift. How many people are saying making room? How many? If you've ever added on to your house, it costs you money, it costs you time, it costs you inconvenience. And bottom line, if you're going to receive something, it's going to cost you all three of those. It's just the way it is. After the room was made, then Elijah says to his servant, ask the woman what she wants. Now you gotta understand something. He ate at the table continually. He had the ability and the anointing. He already knew what her need was. She was barren. And in the Hebrew culture, barrenness was a curse. He already knew that. He had the ability to heal her barrenness. But he didn't have permission until they made room for the gift. Many times God will send something who people that have the ability, but because you have not made room, they have no authority to release what they got. You know, she mentioned what she wanted. He said, by this time next year, you'll have a son. Come on. See, the answer was there all the time. How many times do we get around people? And the answer is there, but because we don't like the package. Come on. Or we don't want to be inconvenienced. We don't want to invest in any way, shape, or form. Come on. And yet God says, I got so much for you, but you're going to have to release what you got so I can release what I got. I love the fact that my son understands that. He understands so much. You know, just recently, a few months ago, we were in a situation where, you know, on schooling, he didn't get the deal he wanted from one of the better colleges. You know, two of the colleges, were good colleges, but they weren't where he wanted to go. They gave him a full ride. But the two of the top schools, they came back and they gave him like 70%, but they're still like $65,000 a year. And he said, Daddy, and I looked at him, I said, I don't want you walking out of school in debt. And you know what his reaction was? Sunday's coming. And the first thing he did, he basically took the money he had, and he said, I'm sowing the seed. But see, that's revelation. You know? And he said, Daddy, I want you to call and renegotiate. Because you can do that with the deals. But you know, I didn't even have to renegotiate. I called up and I said, well, we were thinking. He said, well, they said, what about this number? And it was way in our ballpark. I said, that would work. But see, you know, his seed was almost immediate. But you know, because he understood. You know, years ago, I was going to preach at a church in Missouri, and they didn't have any hotels in town. And the pastor said, do you mind staying at this lady's house? And I said, I don't stay at ladies' houses. There's a reason I've been married 35 years. Come on now. At the time, I was a younger preacher, but you know, and the pastor said, well, she's 85 years old. I remember that. And I said, you sure she's 85? They said, yeah, she's 85. I was like 32 at the time. I said, if she's 85, send me a picture, fax a picture, but get me a picture of her. I'll run it by my wife and see if it's okay. And she looked like a woman from the Amish cookbooks, an old grandma with a bun. And my wife looked and said, well, if she looks like that, you can stay there. So sure enough, and the pastor warned me. They said, well, you know, she's a prayer warrior. And I said, well, my wife's a prayer warrior. You know? And he said, you don't understand, she's a prayer warrior. I said, that's fine. I'll never forget getting there because not only does she look like an Amish grandma, she cooked like one. It was heaven, man. I mean, there was nothing like that. It's like, whoa. I thought this was great. But at 7 o'clock at night, she looked at me. She said, aren't you going to bed yet? I said, 7 at night. She said, yeah, it's late, isn't it? Now, you got to understand something. For me, early morning prayer is 1 or 2 in the morning before I go to bed. I am a morning person. It's just early morning. It's the last thing I do. You know? And she said this, and I thought this is cute. So I went up and read, because I knew, you know, I read upstairs and until 1:30 or 2 in the morning, fell asleep. At 4:30 in the morning, I hear this from downstairs. Reporting for duty, sir. Devil, I'm your worst nightmare. And for the next 4.5 to 5 hours, she is ripping the place in tongues. Shut up! And the bed is moving. I'm holding on. I mean, I don't have my coffee. I just, and by the time I come down, she's so cute. I come down the stairs and she looks at me. She said, Brother Woody, did you sleep okay? I said, I know one thing, there's not a devil within miles of this place. Every morning, at 4:30 in the morning. In fact, I learned to go to bed early while I was there. About 4:30 in the morning, reporting for duty, sir. Devil, I'm your worst nightmare. And she would just rip in tongues. I asked her, I said, how long have you been doing it? She said, well, my husband died 44 years ago, and I started right then. Well, she'd walk in the church with her little handbag. She'd walk like this. Every demon in hell go, ha! Ha! I nicknamed her Grandma Rambo. And I remember just going down the street after hanging with her for a week. And I'd be just doing my little Shangri-La type of praying. And all of a sudden, it just came in my spirit. Reporting for duty, sir. Devil, I'm your worst nightmare. And I just start ripping in tongues, and I liked it. I caught something from that lady. I went back for 10 years. She would charge me and charge me and charge me. Why? There was an impartation. You know, there are people that will push your button if you let them. You know, there are people in business that will push your button. There are people in every area. There's something about them. They're contagious. Come on. And God wants to make us all. He wants us does those things to rub off on us. Come on. He wants to rub the anointing all over us. You know, back to, you know, years ago when I worked that way with oral, let me show you how impartation works. It was like maybe 5 to 10 years later, I was scheduled to preach in Georgia. I thought I was going to do a little storefront church because that's all I did back in those days. I would drive across country for 10, 12 people, you know. Still do, by the way. But now I do thousands at a time, too. So, I mean, it's, you know, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, you know, the people, they said, why would you do that if I believe in the place? Back in those days, I did because they were the only people that have me. Now I do it. If I believe in the place, I'll do it. If I don't, I won't. You know, there are a lot of places I won't do it because I don't believe they're going to get out of it. So why should I waste my time? If I believe they're going to get out of it, I won't be part of the answer. Come on. Is that okay? That's all right to say, isn't it? You know? You know? But the bottom line is I was going down to Georgia. I'm looking for the little storefront, and I passed by this huge building. I mean, it seated like 3,000 people. It had on the marquee, it says, come here, Reverend Woodson. And I look, it's the right address. And I'm freaking. Because I'm looking back, and back I had like 10 cassette tapes with me. You know, I don't even bring cassettes right now because we're going in a different direction coming pretty quick. I'm not even, you know, the CDs. We're going in a totally different direction pretty soon. So we're reorganizing everything. But the bottom line is I looked and I thought, man, why do they want me? Well, they didn't. I went in, the guy met me at the door, and you know, the greeter, he said, who are you? I said, I'm Reverend Woodson. He said, you don't look like your picture. Well, I figured that was probably true. Have you ever seen evangelists? Most evangelists send their high school picture. They're 80 years old, but they send their, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's, you know, when they used to have hair or or teeth or whatever, but you know. But the bottom line is, actually, mine was fairly current at that moment. I mean, people were always shocked when I walk in. I'd even send my picture, and I'd walk in, they say, you're young. They were so shocked I actually looked like that. You know, but I walked in, they said, you don't look anything like your picture. I said, nah, well, I think I do. They said, no, you don't. They said, you want to go back to the pastor's office? I said, okay. I went to the pastor's office, and I'm looking, and here's the wall of fame. They had Oral Roberts' picture there. They had Brother Copeland's picture there. They had Marilyn Hickey's. All these people had preached in that church. Now I'm wondering, why are they having me? And a pastor walks in and he said, can I help you? I said, yeah, I'm Reverend Woodson. He said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. He said, no, you're not. I said, I am. I could have my parents call you. He said, you're not Harold Woodson. I said, no, I'm not. Well, Harold was preaching on PTL on a regular basis back then. He's still a good preacher, but he was well known. Well, the problem is this guy hired an associate that I taught Victory Bible Institute. So when the pastor said, call Reverend Woodson, he called me. And I was scheduled for Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And he looks at me, he said, you're not Harold. I said, no, I'm Woody. He looks, he said, can you preach? I said, I hope so. He said, so do I. And I remember that. And, you know, I'm sitting on the platform with this guy, and I know he doesn't want me there. And be honest with you, I didn't want to be there. Because I'd much rather speak to 10 people who want me than 2,000 people who wish I was Harold. And I'm looking, I'm sitting on the platform, minding my own business. And God says, you tell the pastor that Tuesday night will be the largest service he ever had. I said, you tell him. He doesn't like me. He said, tell him. So I tapped the guy on the, you know, on his knee, and I said, shh. I said, good news. Tuesday night will be the largest service you ever had. He said, young brother Woodson. Back in those days, I hated when they call me young. Now when they call me young, I don't pray for their eyesight. Come on now. But back in those days, that was like a slap, you know. I was always trying to look older than I was because, you know, people didn't have any respect for you if you're, you know. It amazes me. You know, back in those days, if you were like under 40, there was no respect. If you were over 40, you're over the hill. So you got 1 year to make it, baby. You know. So, you know, but I told the guy that, and he looked at me, he said, Brother Woodson, we've had Brother so-and-so, so-and-so, and so. I said, I've seen your wall. He said, you don't understand. He said, Sunday we'll have about 2,000, 2,500 people. Sunday night we'll have 800 people if you're good. Monday night, if you're really good, you have 300. Tuesday night, if you're Jesus himself, you have 50. That's a faith church. I said, God said, young. I said, forget it. I got up to preach that morning. It was okay. I thought it was okay, but by Sunday night, they're down to 300. That was supposed to be Monday night. And I'm sitting there, Lord, you said, by Monday night, they're down to 75 people. And I'm sitting there on the plate. How many of you have ever done this? God, you said. God, you said. I didn't want to tell them. You told me to tell them. And Lord, it's easy for you to tell him to tell him because they can't see you. They see me. Come on. And I'm having a little discussion with God. And you know, it's looking bad. Then the stretch limo pulls up and they push this lady in the wheelchair in. And the pastor's freaking. Do you know who that is? Do you know who that is? I'm thinking, I don't even know who I am. I've been calling myself Harold for a couple of days now. And he said, this is so-and-so, and it was the name of the town. I said, that's a coinky-dinky or whatever. And, yeah. He said, she is the most famous citizen. Her great-great-grandfather or great-great-great-great-grandfather founded this community. She's a Presbyterian. She's never been in a church like this. She's been in a wheelchair for 30 years. And I'm thinking, that's interesting. Then they start pushing her in, and I hear the Spirit of God says, you're going to pull her out of the chair tonight. I said, no, I'm not. I'll lay hands. If she wants to get up, she can get up on her own, man. He said, you're going to pull her out. You got to understand something. You know, years before, I'm sitting next to Oral. I'm helping him out. I say, oh, I want to do this. But when it was time to do it, didn't want to do it at all, you know. And, you know, all of a sudden, I started believing the word of the Lord that Tuesday night would be the largest service because I thought I was going to get her out of the wheelchair and she was going to get hurt really bad. And the whole town would come out to lynch me. We're in Georgia, baby. You know? So, I mean, I'm preaching on nothing's impossible to him that believes. I'm preaching to myself. Wish I did. I keep hearing the Holy Spirit say, you're going to pull her out. You're going to pull her out. And I'm arguing while I'm preaching. So I can't do that, Lord. I'm not doing that. That's not the way I do it. He said, it's the way you do it now. You don't pull her out of the chair. And finally, you know, I finally had the clothes. So I finished, you know, preaching. I gave the altar call, and this is what I told the Lord. I said, I am not going after her. You want her out of the chair, you get her up here. And I'm praying she'd leave. And so it worked for a while. The chauffeur was pushing her out of the building, and as she got to the back door, they turned her around. Push her back up. I hear the Lord say, you're going to pull her out? You're going to pull her? I said, oh. I remember I came up to her, I said, ma'am, have you ever received Christ? And she mentioned when she did. She said, yes, I've made Jesus Lord of my life. She said, but I didn't know he's still healed today. She said, you know, I'd like to get healed. I said, okay. You asked for it. No. And then, you know, I told her, I said, why don't you grab my hands and I want you to close your eyes, because I didn't want her to see what was going to happen. I closed mine because I didn't want to see what was going to happen to her. And I started praying like this. This is the way I prayed. I said, Lord, you love this lady. You wouldn't do anything to hurt her. Oh, Lord, you love her. You wouldn't hurt her. Oh, and the Holy Spirit said, you are stalling. Just pull her out of the chair. So finally, I pull her out and say, in Jesus' name, be healed. And I pull her out, keep my eyes closed, listen for the thud. And the place began to erupt. I heard people screaming. I could tell. It was a hole. And I looked up. This lady's hopping up and down, up and down, up and down. She'd been in a chair for 30 years. And I'm thinking, it worked. But on the outside, you got to fake it because you're a faith man. You're like, uh-huh, I knew it. I knew it all along. But see, I caught that anointing hanging with oil. It rubbed off on me. It just took a while for it to be activated. We got a lot of things we've already caught that haven't been activated yet. Come on now. We've already caught it. It's there. It's just dormant. And it's waiting. The time's coming where we're going to have to use some of these things. You know what I'm saying? You know, years ago I was preaching with Jesse Duplantis. Actually, Jesse was preaching. I was up on the platform with him, you know, making him look good. He looks like a God's anointed leprechaun. Have you ever noticed that? He belongs on Keebler Box. I say that with all respect. I really respect him, but he smiled bigger than he is. And but I'm sitting there on the platform, and while he's preaching, he's laying his hands on me, preaching to the congregation. And he keeps saying, everything I put my hands on prospers. And I thought, man, God, he got an anointing for wealth. I said, I receive. I was praying he wouldn't get his hands off of me. I mean, ah! And, you know, it changed things. I mean, our finances changed just because he wanted to lean on somebody. I was just glad he leaned on me. Come on. Does this make sense? See, God wants to bring, he's bringing us things. We must be about our Father's business. You know, you've inherited the Father's business. Think about that. He gave you the kingdom, gave it to you. It was God's good pleasure. Yes. He's not withholding anything. In fact, he gave you inheritance, and inheritance by its very nature, if you're going to really be honorable with inheritance, you're going to increase it. Inheritance is not just for you to spend. It's an inheritance is for something that God wants you to invest so it increases. He didn't give you the kingdom so you wouldn't bring increase. He gave you the kingdom so the kingdom would increase. Yes. That you would seek first the kingdom of God. That you would value your inheritance. Come on. Does this make sense? See, we need to recognize, embrace what the Father's given us. Come on. See, God says, you know, you'll be friends if you do what I say. He said, you know, I don't want to call you servants. I want to call you friends. Because a servant doesn't have a clue what the master is doing. Yeah. He said, but because he, you know, God doesn't give inheritance, he really wants his kids to know about the business. So he'll share secrets with us. That's why if you get close, you get to the secret place, he'll unveil some stuff. You know, I believe if you get around some of God's servants that have spent time in his presence, you can catch a lot. Come on now. And you know, it's like the other day when I was preaching, and you know, David Lees, there was one moment I touched his butt and he never heard a word I said after that. I know it. He told me that later. But he, you know what happened was God just opened his eyes to a whole different realm. I did my job. I don't care if you hear what I say. I care if you see something. Because what you can see, you can have. Come on. If you can see that it's already yours, if you can see yourself triumphant, if you can see yourself doing it, come on. Sometimes when we, you know, God will bring someone as an example so that we can see what we can do, praise God. Do you understand? You know, the family business is the kingdom. It's what God wants to do. Let's go to Deuteronomy 29, 29. I'm going to bring this out probably tomorrow too as we get into a little different realm of unlocking your potential. But Deuteronomy 29, 29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever. See, God's not just trying to reveal things to us. He wants to reveal something to us that we can pass down as an inheritance. Come on. Understand, the revelations we get are not just for us. Things that you receive, you must impart. Come on. Does this make sense? See, we're coming into a time where God's going to begin in the last days. God's going to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children. Why? So that the children can receive their inheritance. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. That's why I sent the Holy Spirit. Why? Orphans don't have an inheritance. Without understanding the Holy Spirit, without understanding the revelation the Holy Spirit gives, you cannot access the inheritance. You can't even see it because they're revealed by His Spirit. Come on. So the Holy Spirit has come to give us an impartation, to reveal stuff to us. See, Jesus' success came from the Father. Our success comes as we see what the Father's doing. Jesus basically brought heaven to earth by literally having access to a revelation from heaven. We bring heaven to earth by having access to a revelation of heaven. See, how many of you know that yesterday's secrets many times is today's revelations? How many of you now have things that you know that you didn't know back then? They were mysteries to you back then. Now they're revelations to you. Come on. Does this make sense? See, but God said it's for us to know. We have a revelation of the kingdom. It's for us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. We know the mysteries of the kingdom. To other people, they're just mysteries. But to us, we know them. It's a revelation. Come on. This makes sense to you. See, God also gives us wise people to walk with, because how many of you know, people rub off on you one way or the other. You know, I'll minister to anybody. I only walk with certain types of people. You know, I usually walk with visionaries because that's what I want to be. You know, my son, you know, the thing that makes him so valuable is he can see. He can see in the realm of technology. He can see things other people can't see, which makes him a blank check. It's the bottom line. He knows it too. He said, all I got, he said, Daddy, I've never invented anything. All I've done is basically seen what other people can't see. He said, I don't invent, I discover. He said, if the church would learn how to walk in revelation, they would discover what's already theirs. Yeah. Yeah. And if they would discover what was already theirs, they would rule the world. Because whoever has the ideas has the wealth. Come on. You won't get something tonight. And see, the church, we almost want to, you know, We got to stop being backward. We got to become forward-thinking people. Come on. You walk with wise men, you become wise. You know, you iron sharpens irons. One of the keys to receiving revelation of the kingdom is being poor in spirit. What does that mean? You realize you don't know it all. You know, the one of the ways to being rich is being poor in spirit. Then you can partake of his riches. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Theirs is the kingdom. Why? Because they recognize they need the kingdom. Come on. They're not going off their earnings. And if you're not living off your earnings, you're going to have to live off a revelation. The just shall live by faith. What is faith? Revelation. Come on. Things that other people can't see. It's the unseen realm. That's where our inheritance is. God shows us things in the unseen and then says, bring it to be manifest in the seen realm. You gain something? See, being poor in spirit is not being self-critical or condemning. It's the continual realization that every blessing in our lives is entirely because of God's grace. Being poor in spirit is not spiritual poverty, but the path to receive the grace of abundance. Every problem in life has literally a measure of God's grace to bring about a victory. Every problem does. There's always guaranteed victory for every problem. If we'll humble ourselves, we'll be exalted. See, inheritance is power. That's what it is. Its purpose must be captured to be a benefit. You know, God says, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. We don't earn it. He just blesses us to make us a blessing. Now, we got to walk in obedience. Why? Because it's the place of blessing. God says, if you do this, it's already guaranteed. You obey my voice, these blessings will come on you, overtake you. You go after the blessing instead of after me, you'll miss both. You go after me, the blessing's with me. Come on. That's why too many people are after their healing instead of after the healer. Or they're after the provision instead of after the provider. You seek him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not seek the thing, seek him. It's all in him. That's where your inheritance is. Come on. Does this make sense? See, literally, the blessing of Abraham is already ours. God's blessing causes the world to take notice. When you're living God's dream, come on, that's what your inheritance is. It's a revelation. It's God's dream for your life. When you're living your dream, your mouth is filled with laughter, and then the heathen will say, look at the great things God has done for them. God wants to bring us to a place where the world is envious of the church. They're envious of our marriages. They're envious of our family lives. They see that somehow when we go through something, it's different than when they go through it. We got the God advantage. Amen. Come on. We're not like the world. That's the way it is. Does this make sense? To whom much is given, much is required. Inheritance is power, and this power must be directed towards kingdom purposes through kingdom attitudes and kingdom mindsets. We've been given the kingdom, so why wouldn't God require much of us? You know, God requires you to be a world changer. That's a requirement. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. He said, if you're not doing that, it's good for nothing. I didn't say it. Jesus did. We're called to be influencers. Come on. You're called to rejoice evermore. It's the will of God. Amen. Come on. Part of our wasted inheritance are unclaimed spiritual gifts. God says, earnestly desire, covet them, covet them, covet them, covet them. He said, I got so much more I want to give to you, but it's not for you. You know, even prosperity ultimately is not for us. It's in order to establish the covenant. That's what it is. Thank God for the residue we can live in. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful when you have your bills paid and you don't have to worry about things. You're not supposed to anyway, but I'm grateful when you're in a position where you're in a position of abundance where you can give to every good work. Come on. I'm grateful, and I believe God's trying to bring us there. Amen. And some of us, we're a little further along than others, but we're still not totally there. Come on. Amen. God has so much more. Does this make sense? See, literally, lack is never part of the equation with God. See, literally, God has given us everything necessary for us to accomplish our assignment or destiny, which is to make disciples of the nations of the world. Come on. The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. He's given us everything that pertains to life. He's already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through His precious promises. We have access to hidden things, access to hidden treasures, access to keys to unlock stuff. Come on, the key of David, the keys of the kingdom. Whatever we bind is bound, whatever we loose are loosed. Man, if we would just recognize it. Instead of seeing ourselves as victims, let's see ourselves as sons and daughters of the Most High. Amen. We serve because Jesus served. We're like Him. But we don't serve in order to earn anything. And we don't serve because we're subservient. We're not second class. We're not even world class. We're heaven class. Come on now. I remember one of the things, I got a world-class daughter. I think that was Perot. When he was running, he just talked about his world-class daughter. Yeah. I mean, we're not just world-class, we're heaven-class, man. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's better than world-class. Yes. Amen. Yes. That's a change to world-class. We are a new breed class. Come on now. Yeah. Hallelujah. We are those that can bring manifestation on the earth, praise God. God literally has revealed to us the hidden things. You know, He doesn't hide things from us as much as He hides things for us. See, what was given to Moses in his encounters on the mountain was supposed to be passed down as an inheritance to His people forever. Understand that. You know, God wants you to experience things. You see the corporate experience. Many of us, we partake through the Scriptures. We get impartations through the Scripture. All you got to do is spend time just meditating on David's life. You'll become a worshiper. Yeah. You know, you hang enough with some of these things and meditate. There's an impartation that comes that way too. It just comes to you. The Word gets in you. You know, you start thinking about the different people, Elijah and the power and the miracles. You think of Martin Luther King Jr., what he's done for this nation. Oh, there's so many people that literally have impacted the nations and imparted their life. They literally poured out their life and the world is a different place. Yes. They paid the price. Some of them paid the ultimate price. But changed things. Come on. Everything humanity's ever learned from God was given by revelation and encounter. Everything. Understand that. All revelation that we receive is to be passed to the next generation as an inheritance. All anointing that was and is here and every generation has an anointing of its own. Inspiration is wonderful, but impartation is ongoing. You know, when people begin to prophesy, all of a sudden, all these other people begin to prophesy in the camp, out of the camp. It's like they caught a spirit. Yeah. I mean, there are people that weren't even tied into the anointing at all begin to prophesy. It rubbed off on them. I believe this nation's going to catch a Holy Ghost spirit. Yes. I believe that people that don't even know God are going to begin to prophesy just because the people that know God, come on, it's walking so strong in Him. Amen. I believe you can get to the place when the righteous rule, that's even least the morality begins to rub off. Yes. People's eyes become open, and all of a sudden what they thought was right, they know is wrong. They'll stop killing babies. Come on. Does this make sense? That's what God has for us. He wants extraordinary anointings. Come on. He's given us an extraordinary spirit. Come on. Hallelujah. We need to draw on previous breakthroughs so we can step in to the breakthroughs of today. We need to fulfill the purpose of God. The works I do, Jesus said, you shall do also. Then he tells you on how to do it. He said, ask, 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 ask. He already told you partake of the anointing by asking, by claiming stuff. That's how you do an inheritance. You claim it. Years ago, we were in a situation, and one of my, my wife's relatives was somebody I visited on a regular basis, but I wasn't flesh and blood family. She was like, a niece. She wasn't that close, and compared to, they had brothers and sisters alive and stuff. But I would visit them on a regular basis. When he died, he left some stuff for me. Got the other relatives angry. The first thing I want to do is read the will. What's mine? I wasn't doing it for that. When I found out someone left something and I realized the other people were angry, made me happy. every day we open up the Bible, it's the will of God for us. It's the will of God. It's the will of God. It's an inheritance. Man, we're reading the inheritance. Come on. This is not just something, some nice, cute little story. It's for us. It's for us. God says, read it and claim it. Read it and claim it. Read it and claim it. Possess your possessions. They're already yours. He said, I've already deeded it to you, but faith is the title deed. Come on now. He said, literally, I've said this is my will, and if you'll use your faith, it's the title deed to access what I've already willed you. Come on. Does this make sense to you? Come on. See, the oldest son and the prodigal son thing, the oldest son missed out on everything. And he missed out because he didn't realize that what the father said, all I've had has always been yours. But you've been trying to earn it so much you couldn't enjoy it. See, history is not only meant to be celebrated. It's meant to be the floor we stand on. We must build upon what is to go on to what has never been. Come on. And many of us, honestly, we need to begin to study and see how God's imparted things to past generations. We mustn't ever allow the foundational truths of this nation to be removed. We have a fight to bring them back in. Come on now. We need to understand we are a nation blessed by God. If we will bless God, God will bless this nation. Come on now. If we will bless Israel, God will stand with us. We need to begin to realize, come on, who we are and whose we are, that we can say our Father. When we pray, we're not praying to a stranger. We're praying to a Father that already loves us and already has given us. He's just waiting for us to ask. I want to get bold now in my inheritance. I want to get bold in it. And I want, when I see someone carrying something I want, it wasn't just for them. The reason they're carrying it is me. I'm going to hang with them. I'll even serve them. I'll do anything I can do to get that thing to rub off on me. Come on now. Like I said, we spend time. I have this group I meet with, and some are businessmen, some are in the entertainment business. We're all talking vision. Because God's going to bring a seeing anointing back to this nation. The nation cannot go forward until it can see. Only blind people will follow a blind leader. And it's time that God wants to anoint. He wants to give eye salve. Because without the eye salve, we can't see what's already ours. God wants to anoint the church so that literally the world will have to come to us. They'll come to the mountain of the Lord, not just for quote-unquote super spooky spiritual stuff, but learning how to live. Where the Pharaoh will have to go to the Josephs, to the dreamers, to find out what to do in crisis. You may be in prison one day, but if you walk in the anointing, you can be prime minister the next. And you're never imprisoned. The only imprisonment we're in is the ones we built. Because God's already set us free from all the others. It's time to uncap your wells. You got a well of salvation, but unfortunately some of us have capped it. Dare to dream again. Dare to see again. Dare to ask God, show me, show me, show me, show me. God, I'm not too old to teach. You know, I always see, you hear that story, you know, that saying that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, that's the reason he's an old dog. If he would be open to the new, he wouldn't be old. Come on. You know what I'm saying? God wants us open. He'll renew our youth. I don't care how old we are. He'll renew our youth. You know, when you're seeing stuff, you're like a little kid. You're like a little, I mean, it's like, whoa. You have a purpose to get up in the morning. You got a purpose to go to bed. It's like life is fun because you know you're making a difference. Even when you're going through stuff, you still know you're making a difference. Makes it worthwhile. When you're not seeing anything, you stop. Lack of momentum is always tied to lack of vision. Understand that. Lack of momentum is always tied to lack of vision. We all know what we ought to do, but if we can't see it, we ain't doing it. Be honest, that weariness is always tied to lack of vision. When you see something, it's fresh. And when it's fresh, you got energy for it. So when the crying need of the hour is for God to raise up seers. And everyone's supposed to, I mean, every one of your area of responsibility, God wants to give you vision for. Whether you're a parent, a businessman, you know, with every area of responsibility you have, God wants to give you a vision for. You know? Pastors are overseers. Churches should be a place where the blind come, people come in blind and leave seeing. Blinders are removed. Where literally limitations are brought down and faith rises. Where all of a sudden we believe with God nothing's impossible, and we believe we are with God. So we won't do things that have never been done before. That doesn't mean that they could have been done. No one else could see it. You know, I've learned a lot. You know, it's funny. I've trained these principles to my son, but he's implementing them. It's so much fun because he challenges me so much because he's always out there. You know, in the internationals just recently, the meteorology people said, you know, we didn't know that part could be done. And that's the AMS, which is like the number one meteorology place in the American Meteorological Society, which is, you know, what the Weather Channel and everyone else taps into. But, you know, he's just always saying, well, if this is true, what if? If this is true, what if? We need to get to that place. If this is true, what if? What if? We're stuck because we're just looking at things as though that are as though they are. You'll never call things that are not unless you're looking into an unseen realm. You never will. But if you've seen something that's not yet here, you keep calling it. You know? If you decree a thing that you've actually seen by faith, it'll be established. Come on. If it comes by revelation, it has to come. If it came from the Father, it has to eventually have to manifest. It has to. Come on. You're getting something tonight. We're about ready to tap into some stuff the next couple of services. We're gonna tap some of that stuff. We're gonna uncap some stuff. We're gonna tap into stuff. There's a bunch of potential. There's a harvest in us that needs to come out and be manifest. And to die with a harvest in you is to die irresponsibly. Because it wasn't for you that God put it in you. Come on. You gain this?
Yes.
I want every head bowed, no one looking around since I made you feel so good. You know, I didn't come here to make you feel good. I didn't come here to make you feel bad. You really didn't come here to make you feel anything other than God. But God wants to uncap some stuff. He wants to do some stuff. He wants to impart some stuff. Now, one of the things I carry is I'm a watchman. That's what I am. You know, years ago, it was prophesied over me 3 times in 3 different ways. And it was the same scripture from Ezekiel 3, I've set you as a watchman over the house of Israel. And, you know, sometimes I give warnings, sometimes I give blessings, but what I see, that's what I do. And I carry an anointing that releases seers, not just in the spiritual realm, by the way, not just, you know, church stuff. That's why a lot of businessmen hang around me, a lot of people like that, because we're able to inspire. And be honest with you, we can elevate the stage of what they're up. God wants to bring a revelation that brings acceleration. Come on now. We've been stuck long enough. And you know, you need to understand any area you're stuck in, it's because you're not seeing what you need to see to get unstuck. So that I'll tell you how you should be praying. Open my eyes. God, I'm not seeing it yet. Open my eyes. God, I know there's more out there. Open my eyes. God, I don't know what to do. Open my eyes. I can only do what I see you doing. Come on. You know, too many times we pray the wrong prayers. Open our eyes, God. God, you know, we don't want to have eyes that see but don't see. Many eyes look, very few eyes see. There's a difference.